Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
Welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast. Scotty is here and so am I. My name is Matt. And Scotty, let's start off with today's breaking news. Tevita Pengai Jr. has announced his retirement from the NRL to take up a boxing career.
Good luck to him, I guess. Hopefully that's what he wants to do, but in a selfish way, is that like what, 800,000 cleared off our salary cap next year that we don't have to worry about?
Yeah, well, possibly. I do believe there's probably some sort of payout involved, right? There was rumours in newspapers that the Bulldogs were looking to try to move Tevita Pengai Jr. on to other clubs, so I wouldn't be surprised if there was a bit of a payout. So it might not be a full 100% saving. However, it will save quite a bit of money on the salary cap moving forward. I think it's a good move for both club and player. Hopefully he does well in boxing, if that's something that he's passionate about. Good luck to him. But it hasn't been working out at the Bulldogs, has it?
No, it hasn't. And then there have been glimpses of amazing stuff he's done. I think if you look back at his career, I'll just quickly search him just to double check his age. 27 years old, so you'd think he'd be hitting his prime now in his footy career as a forward. But yeah, it hasn't worked out. Like, he had those glimpses at Brisbane. It was really the 6 games at Panthers, I think, would be what he gets remembered for. We had that very simple short roll off the interchange bench, and he just did it right at the Panthers 2021. But yeah, it hasn't really worked out. He'd probably go down as what could have been.
Yeah, absolutely.
What could have been type of player.
Interesting. When there's some big news like this, obviously we have social media accounts for the NRL Bulldogs fans, and we posted this. And normally, news like this, you get a wide range of opinions, right? Good, bad, etc. It was almost unanimous from Bulldogs fans today that this is a good move for both player and for the club moving forward.
I got to say this, I don't think it's the end of him in the NRL, though. I know it's him retiring from the NRL, but would you be shocked horror if you end up popping up maybe at a different team? Maybe someone coached by Wayne Bennett. I know his Dolphins is going to go one more year, but maybe even Ivan Cleary picking him up at the Panthers at a real cheapie in a year's time. The Panthers seem to pick up some ex-Panthers players who want to come back there, and some really good signings on real cheap, like Jack Cogger, Sean O'Sullivan, Tyrone Peachy, playing the house down, like those type of players. Like, he could be one of those in about 12 to 24 months' time.
Absolutely. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he's back in the NRL at some point. I suppose it depends on how the boxing career goes, though. So it'd be interesting to see if George Rosa's boxing company, I think it's called No Limit Boxing, is involved in any way in this. Right. That would be interesting.
Well, good luck to TPJ.
So yes, good luck to Tevita with that one. Scotty, before we jump into the disappointing result of the weekend, I did see this today as well on the Bulldogs website. The Bulldogs are pleased to announce donation of $10,000 from proceeds from the club's limited edition Anzac Round jersey to the Kokoda Track Memorial Walkway. So that's fantastic to see that money going to such a good cause, and something that's so close to all Australians.
Yeah, good stuff, Bulldogs, before we get into the games.
Absolutely. We'll take it away, Scotty.
Yeah, so Sunday afternoon, call me crazy, but did you feel like there was a chance of an upset at Newey? We've got a good record at Newcastle.
Yeah. Before the game, absolutely. 7 minutes into the game, absolutely. 10 minutes into the game, no.
No. Went up there. I went for the drive to Newcastle to watch them play, thinking we've got a good record there. There's going to be an upset of the round. On paper, I don't know if I've got a blue and white eye on, but I thought the Bulldogs have probably had a better all-round squad. Like, you probably say Pong is probably the most talented player across the two teams. But all-round, I thought our squad was probably stronger in most areas there. And I thought after 66-0, I thought this is amazing because I thought, you know, what else but to inspire them and, you know, talk about the 66-0 at a core stadium and return the favour at their home ground. Like, that would have been my whole motivation for the entire week, right? For that, all those little things coming to play. We're a much different side, a much better-looking side than what lost in Newcastle. Doesn't look like that on the scoreboards. If you look at both the games, it would look like the same side went up there and dished that out. So, very disappointing.
Yeah.
We're coming last in most defensive aspects of the game, except for one, and then I think it's second last. I was just looking at the NRL 360 little clip today. So it's not pretty reading.
No. We're almost at minus 300 on the ladder too, I noticed the other day, not far off it.
Which could happen. I'm scared. It could happen.
It would most likely happen to me. We're sitting at minus 297, so three games to go.
They're winnable games.
Running out of time to see improvement, though, aren't we?
Well, they're winnable games. Because we've got Raiders, Seagulls, Titans. Can't tell me they're not winnable games. And but after what happened to the Raiders on the weekend, bounce back factor at home.
So the score finished 42 points to 6. The crowd was 23,464, which was a fairly decent crowd. Good on Newcastle for always getting behind their team. Look, plenty of errors and mistakes. Completion rate was low. Missed tackles was high again. Defensive errors where players from Newcastle just running in between with the ball in between two Bulldogs defenders who were standing there.
Internationals. Really
looking at each other. So very disappointing. However, I do feel in the first 7 minutes, we're going set for set with them. And I felt like we were the dominant team. I felt like we were on top in that early battle. We felt like we're making more meters. We're starting our sets in better field position. It was great. Davida Pengai Jr., the man of the moment, had a couple of great runs early on. I think one run, he had something like 20 post-contact meters. You felt like, oh, good, he's on today. And just when you're starting to, I don't know, really get up for the game, I suppose. Well, no, that's not true, because I thought we were a chance before the game. But, you know, really think we're on here. We're on today. Davida Pengai Jr. does the stupidest offload again and straight to a Knights defender. Newcastle score, and Newcastle score again about 2 minutes after that. And then 12-0 after 10 minutes, 30-0 at halftime. Just got worse and worse from there, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, being in the crowd, we're talking about Newcastle fans around me. The first few minutes, there was a bit of a worry. They were like, a comment was made, this isn't the Bulldog side we versed weeks ago. This is an improved Bulldog side. There was comments about they're actually on here. They're carving up meters. They're destroying us in the middle already, early days. Only takes one mistake. And again, it's always been the way for us for, I feel like, the last 5 or so years is that we make one mistake. And before, went under the Dean Pay era, you could forgive it when, you know, we had players who probably were New South Wales Cup standard. With maybe a couple NRL players in the side, that you could forgive those little mistakes, or them not really able to respond to mistakes properly. But this side here, like, I don't care what anyone said, that 13 or the 17 we had, they're more than capable enough to be competing for finals, the very least. And they're not competing in games, let alone competing for a final spot. And I know the finals were done and dusted before the weekend. But we finally said this is our strongest 13 we've dished out all year. I think there's maybe Rand Vitalimana. Apart from him, that's probably our best side.
Even that, they're talking about moving him on, right, in the media. So, so who knows?
100%. So even if you say Rand Vitalimana in our side, he's being moved on. So he can't be that crucial, apparently, or according to the Bulldogs. But that is crap. Like, Viliami Kikau. Defense was atrocious. I was looking forward to a big game from Luke Thompson.
Yeah, that was a disappointing return after the time he's had off. You do expect some, what's the words? some rust, but that seemed like a little bit more than rust to me.
I didn't think he was going to play such long minutes either.
Yeah.
On return, I thought for someone who just played 30 minutes in New South Cup game a fortnight ago, has a bye, I thought he'd be back in New South Cup. I thought they'd be trying to push like a 60 or 70 minute game out of him in Cup just to see how he responded to.
Credit to Newcastle though, right? Going into that first game where Newcastle beat us 66-0 at Stadium Australia, a cool stadium, this season was on life support as well. They were in the bottom four, I'm pretty sure.
They were 1 minute above us.
They were fourth last, and we were third last. 1 win above us, and they've gone on a run. They've put themselves in the top eight. I'll tell you what, Scotty, they might be. Don't take this too far. They might be a bit of a dark horse in the Premiership race. Now, they're on a run. They've got the momentum. They lost to Penrith by 1 point in Golden Point, and lost to the Brisbane Broncos by 4 points, and they're the two favourites at the stage.
Knocked off Melbourne as well.
Like, it's going to be very hard to win a premiership from outside the top four, I think, especially this year, given the way the it's gone. But the Knights might be able to go for a pretty decent run deep in the finals, so credit to them.
Yeah, no, credit to them. Actually, I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, it was actually the 1 point ahead because of the draw against Manly. So we were talking about beating them at a core to jump them on the ladder. That was the feeling of that game. And I said both teams are desperate for the win, so this could equal it to be a great game of footy. It wasn't. As in, like, what they were expecting. They were expecting two desperate sides to go at it.
It wasn't.
But I don't... Like, it was atrocious. Like, Matt Burton didn't want to enter the game for a while. Toby Sexton doing every single kick possible. Then when Matt Burton enters the game, he grubbers it dead. From the moment it came off his foot... His first kick was atrocious. You could tell straight away. There was a clap going around. They knew the 20-minute tap was happening from the moment he kicked it. Not once did he try to put a bomb up any position in that game. He was just doing end over ends, if that. So I don't know if he was playing injured. He dropped down and stretching at his legs. But then that's another issue we've had all year. We've had players playing injured who don't look comfortable. There's just a lot of different things. Like, even the fascination of just trying to hit kick out and just trying to get the barge over all the time.
Yeah.
Newcastle saw that happen every single time.
And I'll tell you what, another thing, Scotty, and this had no effect on the result of the game, so I hope nobody takes it in that way, but there was some bizarre calls coming from the bunker, wasn't there? Was it just me?
Casey Badger, and I think I was wanting to tweet this, should stay away from rugby league. Like, legit, like, every time I watch a game and she's officiating, there was a call against the Warriors earlier this year, or was it last year, at Mount Smart, that just left everyone scratching their heads. There's calls when she's on the sideline. There's multiple years gone back where she even stops Gavin doing a try against for the Rabbitohs. She tried to call something, and even Gavin was confused what was going on. And, like, it was just like their husband and wife. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I'd like to say, sure, she's maybe a good person. Maybe she's a likable person. I don't know. Maybe that's why she stays there. But there was some doozies of NRLW game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Let's stick to this one. I think.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it's not, it's, this is not a one, like, if this was a one off game, you'd just go, well, it sucks.
Yeah,
but
look, I might be looking at things with blue and white eyes as well. But there was a challenge that the Knights got their way somehow. It was a strip. I couldn't believe how that went Knights' way. Jacob Preston try.
That was a try.
That was knocked back by Newcastle, then knocked on by Newcastle, then grounded by Preston. It was given a try to Newcastle. I haven't gone back and watched it since. I haven't seen any highlights. I did watch the mini afterwards. I've only seen the game once. But every replay that I was seeing for that incident, that's what I was thinking. Knocked back by Newcastle. Knock on by Newcastle. Grounded Bulldogs. Try.
I'm sure she said it was knocked back by Karaz. And then knocked on by Preston. I think was her wording.
Yeah, but it was the grounding of Preston. That was that they called the knock on.
Yeah, no, I was just saying.
Yeah, it wasn't as the ball was coming down. That's my point. I don't know. Look, maybe I'm completely off, but off in my own little land, but there was a lot of calls, particularly from the bunker, that surprised me. And our record with Peter Goff doesn't get any better either, by the way.
But Ken, what was that? So Harry Edwards gets sin binned.
Yeah.
Was that a fair call?
I thought it was. I was okay. And Preston sin bin, that was a bad hip drop. That definitely had to happen.
See, for me, cut the hip drop crap out of the game.
Mm.
Cut it. What was he meant to do? The Preston did not go into that tackle intentionally hip dropping. Momentum of Hastings' run caused the hip drop. That's it.
Yeah, look, you could argue. I feel that's probably an argument for a different time, I suppose, whether that rule should be in or not. But if we're talking about that incident under the current rules.
Under the current rules, it's a sin bin.
I feel it's. Yeah, well, that's what we've got to go off, right?
Yes, so, I know. I get that. But also, listen to Billy Slater, if you get a chance to. He's saying hip drops have been a part of the game forever. He said it's only now that coaches have seen something they could use. He said that's the only reason it's in. He's been hip dropped 100 times. And he's felt it a few times, and he's even showed times of his career where he's got up and he's gone with a sore ankle a little bit and tried to like run it off. It's a part of it. Preston didn't go there to hurt anyone. Preston was making the tackle because the only other thing he could have done in that situation was let Hastings run. And another thing is Hastings back this week.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, so Hastings.
I kind of get it. He could have like not lost his footing. He could have kept his feet on the ground. As long as you keep your feet on the ground. I think it's all right. It did look like he tucked his legs up to swing around. So that's the ones that I don't really like. When you see the players tuck their legs up as they swing around with their body weight onto the back of the leg. So I think it was a consistent call. I don't like the ones where the player just slides down the back, like down the defender's body.
Look where Riddell got done with.
And ends on the back of the legs, because that's just... That's more what you're saying, I believe. That's more momentum. What else can you do when you're beaten in the physicality? You're not going to let go. You're going to hold on. And if you end up on the back of the leg, you end up on the back of the leg. If you watch the Preston one, he does tuck his legs up into the air, which I think is quite dangerous.
Couldn't care for it. I just let him go.
But if you're asking under the current rules in the way that
Peter Goff and Casey Badger's decision to sin bin Preston in that situation. I would argue the one he did against South where he fell off a tackle into a hip drop.
Yeah, that was low.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Three games on the weekend, Scotty. Teams down to 11 players.
That's two. Interesting.
One in the LRLW and two in the LRL on the weekend. Haven't seen that. In fact, commentary around the games has been that a player won't be sin binned if another player is already sin binned. Unofficially, that's the way the referees go. That's what the commentary is. But three times in one week, weekend, team in the NRL or NRLW down to 11. Okay, let's look at the list of. Oh, and just to let everybody know, we have decided that there'll be no points for Player of the Year awards out of that game. Again, I think that's Newcastle 2-for-2 for that aspect.
Well, let's give points to Jackson Hastings for the carrot.
Interesting.
Well, before we get into the other game, can I ask one question? Tyson Gable scores a try where Reed Marnie tackles him after it, right? Where Reed actually dives at him before he actually grounds the ball because Tyson was running it towards the line, and then he makes contact. Gable throws the ball at him. Act of foul play after a try. Referees have threatened it for years, and they took forever to confirm the try. That if the attacking player causes an act of foul play, that the try can be taken off. Is it ever going to happen? He threw a football at someone's head. After they try to make a tackle where he jumped when he was still actually a chance of making contact to stop the try. It wasn't like he scored the try, then Reed came sliding in.
Yeah.
He was still not grounded the ball when he went for his jump.
Interesting point. I was a bit more worried about Blake Wilson being thrown into the crowd almost.
Yes, he always got thrown in there. Yes.
I was also very, very worried about one woman in the... In about row three, that was putting a hand out to try to calm the players down herself, but it looks a bit on the TV. Don't be listening to you, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you can give, not just because you score the try, and if you cause foul play, which Tyson Gamble did, also notice that Tyson Gamble wouldn't take a run after that moment, and he wouldn't kick until later. He went for his first kick and then dropped the ball because he was looking at Viliami kicking out, trying to swing one onto him. Viliami got him.
Alrighty, well, yeah, I did see that. He was upset that somebody tackled him in a certain way, and he stood up and saw Billy. Okay, in the New South Wales Cup, Scotty didn't get any better. Bulldogs 4 to the second Larks place, Newcastle Knights, 42 points to 28. The halftime score was 18 all, so presumably a poor second half, but you were there. Tell us what you thought.
Poor whole game. They shouldn't have been 18-0 at halftime. Newcastle by far the better team at halftime, but I went at halftime going 18-0. That'd be the game when I thought, you know, do you know when you're a good side, you're not playing that well? That's what it kind of felt like, even though I know the Bulldogs haven't been playing well for a long time in New South Wales Cup, but it felt like the Bulldogs were just having an off day against a lower-ranked side, 18-0. We'll take it, and we'll probably run on to win it. We just have to fix a couple of things. Defensively, we'll pour at very attacking, we're poor. Paitamati looked like his confidence is shot. Just looks very comfortable. It's good to see Declan Casey return, though. He's been out for a long, long, long time. Even people start to question if he's still at the club because there was no word on what was going on with Declan. So good to see him back. But it's poor, and I think it's we had no Bailey Haywood. Khaled Rajab, for the love of God, stop playing him at fullback. Josh Papali'i. Sorry, Joash Papali'i there.
Yeah.
At fullback, Joash there.
That's four games in a row that we've lost by the looks of this.
Excellent fullback, Joash Papali'i. Mm. Adds an attack, great defender, bit of a goal kicker too. Thing, it's Khaled Rajab, just not a fullback. I think Khaled Rajab's going down the Moses Mbai route, is that they see talent there, they just can't figure out where the talent is going to be, but unfortunately he didn't play much as many top-grade games as Moses did to get that, you know, thing. But no, it was very poor. Defensively was poor. Curtis Moran was sin bin for high-tackling someone, which he was in disbelief, Curtis, when he got sin bin. But I actually thought it was – when it happened, I was like, oh, God, he's going to be sin binned, and he did. So, like, I wasn't surprised by that call. Curtis played well, I thought, apart from that sin binning, but – there's a lot of things. The one thing I want to ask is, we lose Josh Reynolds to retirement in the NRL Cup side, NRL, whole NRL squad. Why do we let Farmu Brown go?
Yeah. Was he playing for Newcastle?
He was playing for Newcastle. He didn't, there wasn't, you wouldn't say it's one of Farmu Brown's best as like his most exciting game. Like, as you know, he can dart out dummy half or, you know, play in the halves. He just did his job. Good width in his passing. I thought it was like a Farmer Brown playing a very – he didn't have to play anything else.
Played a hooker.
Yeah, he didn't run out of dummy half too often off top of my head here, but his width in his passing and just him swinging off the ground, he looked way better, way in control with what he was doing. But I'm just thinking, like, you got Josh Reynolds who played that hooker half – lock role in New South Cup. Mm. He retires.
Mm-hmm.
You have the same person who can do it, who was actually captaining us this year, Farmy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting there. And my other question is, where did Jackson Topeny go?
Feels like when it comes to injuries and stuff like that, or possible injuries and stuff like that, we don't hear good communication out of the club at the moment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Declan Casey, people just assumed he left.
Yeah.
And he returned on the weekend. Which is good to see again, but
so we've dropped to fourth, Scotty, 7 points behind Bears, who are first.
Who won the minor premiership now?
Yep, but we're in danger of dropping out the top five here.
100% we are. And
let's have a look. I'm just going to read the results out from.
Please do.
Round 17. You take note, Scotty, of how many games there are and the win loss record. So round 17 was a 15-all draw with the Magpies.
Yeah.
We then lose to the Knights. We beat Souths. We lose to the Bears. We lose to the Panthers. We lose to the Roosters. And we've lost to the Knights again.
So we lost six.
How many games was that? Six.
We lost five games. Drawn one, win one.
So out of the last seven. So yeah, the last seven, we've had one draw and one win. So the season is really falling apart. We're in big danger of dropping out of the top five. And we're playing fifth place Raiders this week. And then finish the season the week after with the seventh place Blacktown Workers Sea Eagles. So, yep, no guarantee we'll be there comes finals time at all.
No, I'm just sorry. I was just scrolling through the team list for this week's New South Wales Cup side. Still no Josh Papali'i.
There you go. And moving over, Scotty, we're going to move over to the Jersey Flake.
Yep.
That was played against the Newcastle Knights as well, but not on the day. It was actually Lyle Peacock Oval. Oh, it was on Saturday, that game, sorry. Bulldogs win that game, 30 points to 16. Eli Clark is in there, got a try, got two tries, I should say. And Joash Papali'i, 5 from 5. So there you go, Joash Papali'i.
Two players who could definitely be playing New South Wales Cup and have played New South Wales Cup and been successful in New South Wales Cup.
Lipoi Hopoi. Hopoi, sorry.
He's been good in New South Wales Cup this year.
He scored a try as well. Has the club quietly, 12-10 at halftime for those who are interested, has the club quietly decided that they want to win Jersey Flake? Papali'i at fullback, Clark in the centres, Jonathan Sua, who scored on New South Wales Cup debut.
Yeah, he played well in this club.
Zach Montgomery, I'm pretty sure he's had a little bit of time in South Africa.
Yes, he has.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe the focus is there. Moving across to the ladder, we are currently in second spot, and I think that is where we will stay. We're on 37 points. Panthers are in third, are on 33 points, but the Roosters, who are first, are on 41 points. So,
good year for the Roosters, affiliated clubs, and them. I mean, the New South Cup side isn't going too crash hot, but. The Bears, they're affiliated with the Bears, and they got first in Cup and Flag.
Absolutely. So two games left in the Flag as well. Raiders is this weekend on Saturday at the Raiders Centre of Excellence, and then we're back at home at Belmore against Manly the following week. So Raiders and Seagulls in both those competitions to come ahead. And switching... speed a little bit to go to the Queensland Cup, Scotty, and it was a tight one. Last weekend, the Western Clydesdales lose to the Northern Pride, 22 points to 20. Oh, it's heartbreaking. Four tries apiece, the Northern Pride kicked 3 from 4, and that was the difference. Western Clydesdales 2 from 4 with the boot. 16-6 halftime to the Northern Pride. This game was actually played before the South Dragons game up in Cairns. But yeah, 16-6 down at halftime to come back 22-20 for the Clydesdales to just fall short. Very upsetting.
Yeah, very upsetting. And they're still sitting in 13th position out of 15 teams on 10 points.
That would be in 13th for about 12 weeks.
Yeah, well, the Devils are on 20. I was talking for, like, if you go back a month ago about chasing the, like, you know, the team in front of you down and trying to bring them. That's not happening. It's now trying to get them away from the Cubs on 8 points.
But there's only 2 weeks left in this World Cup and Jersey Flag. There's only 1 week left in the Queensland Cup, so we're stuck in 13th. The Clydesdales will finish 13th.
Kill the Cubs.
Unless if they lose this week by about, what's that, 82 points, which
40 or 50.
Hopefully it won't happen. Oh, that's right. If the Cutters... So 82 points is... No, it can't happen because we're playing the Cutters, mate. We're playing the Mackay Cutters. So Mackay would have to win by... No, because they're playing each other. You have it, don't you? They have to win by about 42.
So will. Yeah, I don't think it will be because...
And if we win, we can't really chase the North Devils. They're on 20 points. We're on 10 points. So.
That's some sort of salary cap cheating in the Queensland Cup.
So bottom four result in the Queensland Cup and in the NRL. New South Wales Cup fighting for their spot in the top five with 2 weeks to go, and Jersey Flag will finish in second. So that's the roundup from the state leagues. Apart from that, Scotty, not too much has really been happening.
Yeah, well, we've got the Raiders this week.
Yes.
On Sunday afternoon again, so a trip to Canberra this time. So from Nui to Canberra.
That was your time to probably lose that I may have missed. That's
you haven't missed
that's
anything.
What I was throwing to you there. But
no, you haven't missed anything.
We haven't. Just not been a lot of news. Maybe you might get more out of Phil Girl's Twitter account.
Oh, that just went off.
Let's go on to this week's games then.
Sorry, there's nothing else for me to add.
let's go on.
Yeah. So yeah, Raiders Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock game.
Yeah.
5 p.m.
So we've already spoken about who the State Cup teams are playing in their final games coming up. 4:05, a Sunday game again against the Raiders in Canberra. What do we think?
I think the Raiders are the worst team in the top eight by far. But after the loss and after the Ricky Stewart's blow up in Melbourne.
I didn't actually see that, but I did hear it went for about 80 seconds.
Yeah, something like that. I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, I was expecting the Raiders thing, but God, they struggle to win by much, don't they? The Raiders give every team an opportunity to beat them when they win. Struggle to put the Tigers away twice this year in both controversial calls and both games saw them get over the line against them.
Most of their wins have been tight ones. That's why they've got. That's why they're in the top eight with such a poor differential, minus 120. But yeah, big loss last week. I think they had won their last 5 games in Victoria against Melbourne heading into that game, and for that streak to break by the way it did, 48-2 off the top of my head, they'll be very disappointed with that. They know that their spot in the top eight isn't confirmed yet, so they got a lot to play for, don't they?
Oh, heaps to play for. That's going to be the challenge. Is they always talk about a good team, or if they're going to be a good team or a threat, how do they bounce back after a disappointing loss? So, yeah. Very disappointing loss. Back at home, we're struggling to find any motivation to do anything, apparently. Maybe us avoiding the spoon earlier might have been the best thing for us for the ending of the season, because it feels like let's pack it up and head to Bali.
Well, I'd rather go to Fiji.
Fiji, I don't know. I was just thinking what the boys might want it. But it's definitely a winnable game if we turn up. And I know it sounds weird. Like, it's not like your Panthers or your Broncos. Like, the Raiders struggle. We almost beat them. We probably played our worst game of the season against the Raiders and we lost by 4 points. Yes, we got a couple of calls and went away to bring the game back. And we still went to the last play of the game. And it was atrocious of a game. It was atrocious. We played atrocious and we still lost by 4. So the Raiders do have that thing. But I've got a feeling, if you ask me to be the thing, I'd say Raiders 13+.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ricky's blob's got to be worth something, doesn't it? It's pretty embarrassing. Like, he seems to get the responses from them after the blow up. So that's, of course, that we have to be the team next in line.
I feel like it's happened about 5 times this year.
Yeah,
strong teams lost the week before playing us. But is that just an excuse at the end of the day?
Well, we're just going to be good enough to quiet outside noise and not worry, make Ricky blow up again, eh? Because that's entertaining TV.
You'll have to clean it. I'll have to go back and look at it. All right, let's go for the team list because we always do this. But it does feel like there's maybe a lack of a point to doing it. Let's just hope they have a solid 80 minutes. So if we can keep Canberra to between 12 and 16 point win, and it's solid throughout the game, it's almost a win for us at this stage, isn't it?
That's a depressing comment you just made just then.
It is. Before I read the team list, here we go. Did you see Canberra Raiders' new logo for next year?
I did.
Thoughts. Slightly off topic, but thoughts.
Oh, I saw it the other day. Let me pull it up. Because it'll change of colour, isn't it?
They've made the green one green.
Yeah.
And they've obviously they've made the logo a little bit more, I guess, simple as far as details on the helmet and the face have been made to what they say be easier for all types of roles. You know what, Scotty? I'll go first. The main one with the green beard and the grey blue helmet with the horns, I think that looks poor. I think the current logo looks better than that. I think the green eyes, now they've said that's because they see green, only green. Cool sort of meaning, but I don't know about how it looks, huh?
Yeah, no,
it
I was
looks,
just
green eyes, it looks a bit funny. However, in saying that, and I can't find it right now, so you might have to look it up later, people are listening as well. I have seen a white version of it and a outline version of it, and those ones actually look like an improvement. It looks better in the white and the outline version of it. So what are you... I know you can only see the green one at the moment, but what are your thoughts? Oh, the green has been changed to the same green that's on the jerseys.
So yeah, I was just reading that point. They're basically saying, as a green machine, we want one color green to echo our club to you, our fans. Instead of having multiple greens, we now just have one green.
Yeah. Oh, actually, on the Raiders website, you can actually scroll down to the bottom and you can see the white version that I'm talking about. I think that actually looks better. It'd almost be better to have the white version on some sort of shield that was green.
Oh, yeah, I can see the white one. I just pulled up the white one, as you said.
Anyway, we've taken a bit of a detour there. Just it came to me as a...
Current logo's a lot better. Because I got the old one, current one, and then...
Well, they slightly cleaned it up recently.
Yes, that's what I'm looking at. They made less... color around the horns, like the shadowing around the horns, there was less.
Yeah, simplified it. Yeah,
and they made the beard a bit more neater and less black of the beard. Made the beard a bit more green of the beard.
I wonder if it's to
it was very childish.
It does a little bit, but I was wondering if they've made it look a little bit less fierce deliberately because now they have an NRLW team as well. But at the same time, you wouldn't imagine a female Raider to have a beard anyway, so I don't know if that is played. It probably hasn't played a part at all, to be honest, but maybe that thought just came to me. Anyway, let's get back on track, Scotty. Bulldogs team list this weekend. Averill is at fullback, Wilson and Adakar in the wings, Karaz and Burns in the centres, Burton, Sexton in the halves. Forwards, King, Marnie, Knight. Good to see Liam Knight start. I think he well deserved. I think he's the best front rower in our team at the moment.
Thank you, Sales.
I don't know if he lets saying, and this is not a knock on Liam Knight, but I don't know if he lets saying a lot at the moment. Kick out and Waddell in the second row. Sutton at lock. Changes might come before kickoff, though, Scotty, as we saw last week. Bench, Flanagan, Thompson, Fatala, Mariner, and Tevita Pengai Jr. The reserves now, Harry Edwards, Curtis Morin, Jaden Ockenbill, Hayes Perham, and Reese Hoffman.
That's a big bench in Flanagan.
I don't know if there's really much point to have Flanagan on the bench the way we're using him. It's almost like he's there just in case there's an injury to halves or centre and hooker. Yeah. Doesn't seem to me that there's much of a plan as to how he's going to play if everyone's fit.
Yeah. That was pretty much what I was going to say to that. With Flanagan, like, I couldn't add another point there, so.
All righty. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there, Scotty.
Wait, I've got one more topic for you.
Let's go.
I just thought of this one. Can you give us the player of the year rounder? I know it hasn't changed. I know it hasn't changed, so sorry, because usually you do it. You're updating it live as we're doing this.
Yes, that's right.
You're playing the calculator and you're plussing.
If you're typing on the podcast, it's me doing the Excel sheet in the background.
Yeah, you're plussing three on players with the calculator.
Yeah, so the list remains as it was last time we spoke about it 2 weeks ago. So Jacob Preston's leading at 16 points. Max King, well, Preston won't be getting much more points. 2 weeks suspension.
That's what I was thinking, actually.
That's right. Max King and Jake have a really tight second on 13. Then we've got Carras on 11 and Burton on 10. And then if you want, throw Adokar there on 9 points as well.
So you can almost... So Preston might not be favourite anymore if we had a sports bet update or some sort of update. He might have lost it to King or Avarillo.
Yeah, well, I don't think King's not playing that fantastically lately. Most of his points came in the first half of the season.
I think all of them came in there.
Carras might be an outside chance, though, Scotty. He's sitting on 11 points, 5 points away from Preston, and he just needs to get on our list, on both our list, once in the next 3 games. And I think that chance would be pretty high, given that his output is one of the most consistent in the team. So if we, you know, lose by anything less than 36, he'd probably get points, to be fair. He might be your new favourite.
Anyone else there? Maybe the Foxy. Foxy, he's on 9.
He's on 9.
Can he reel it back, you reckon? I mean, what about to pick it?
That's why I don't like talking about this too much. So we're not thinking about it when we're picking our players for the game. But
I forget about the points until we do it.
Yeah. Look, Adokar's on 9, so he's a little bit further back. If the players ahead of him don't poll, but then again, if he just has one good game, he ends up on both our lists.
5 points.
Even if he got 2 and 1 from us, he got the bonus to 4, he'd be straight up to 13. So he'd be straight in the mix if that was the case.
Yes, Adokar's a mathematical chance while we're heading into the finals of this.
Adele's on 8, so anyone's a mathematical chance, really. Adele's on 8, Marnie 6, Burns 6. Pegai Jr. 5, Perrin 5, Edwards 5, Sexton and Wilson and Kickow 4, Reynolds 3, Topity 2. Then we've got Apu, Flanagan and Skelton on 1. Look, anyone that's got probably higher than 5 points, as unlikely as it is, they just need to have like 2 really outstanding games and get 2 points from both of us 2 out of 3 times. And mathematically speaking, they're in with it.
The Smoky, is that who the Smoky is?
Hey?
The Smoky, the real Smoky is Waddell. Watch this. Very consistent, very consistent performer. Keeps getting 100 metres plus a game. So
I think the Smoky could be, well, Adokar is probably a bit too close to be called a dark horse Smoky. Maybe Reid Marnie on 6. Okay. He's always trying. He's had a bit of form drop lately. I think he's even said it himself. But if he puts together 3 really good games, Scotty, he gets bonus points each week. So he could make up a 10-point deficit.
Yeah, I reckon Waddell could be up there too. He keeps doing 130, 140 metres, churning the metres, making the tackles.
Alrighty, let's leave it at that.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Go the Bulldogs. Hopefully a couple of wins this weekend against the Raiders and the Mackay Cutters.